Intelligent Medicine is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and healthy eaters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to support the show and see if you qualify. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're answering your questions. Your questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. And before we get to questions, just an important message. Please help to support these podcasts by doing your supplement shopping via FullScript. You'll continue your free access to these podcasts thereby, and also continue having access to some real high-quality supplements that I've hand-picked along with Layla for our patients at our practice, as well as providing suggestions for various conditions. Check it out at fullscript.com, or just go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop. The drop-down menu will lead you right into FullScript. Thousands and thousands of supplements are available there. All right. Let's hear that question one more time. It has to do with the guy who had the flu, can't get rid of a cough?
Yeah, this is Cecily. Cecily, I'm a very healthy 62-year-old, got the flu about 7 weeks ago, hit me hard for the first 10 days.
Right.
Then I started to feel better, but then I relapsed 3 weeks in.
That is not atypical. That's of something that's been going around. It seems to have had two phases.
Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe, okay. My doctor gave me a 5-day prednisone burst, but the mucus, congestion, cough never went away, nor has the fatigue.
Okay.
I have high vitamin D levels. I'm taking high doses of vitamin C, AHCC. I stop dairy. I use a neti pot. I normally have a strong immune system. Haven't had a cold in many years. What else can I do?
Okay, so...
Wow.
I mean, look, when you have a cough, it's usually the sequel to bronchitis or possibly pneumonia. In this case, it was probably just bronchitis. And the aftermath is chronic inflammation of the lungs or the pharynx, the larynx, actually, which creates a tickle and a sensation. And it's a nerve sensation that's due to the chronic inflammation. The virus is gone.
Yeah.
It's just sort of left an afterburn.
Hmm.
Now, you can use things to suppress the cough. One of the most effective things to suppress the cough is actually a little bit of alcohol. It suppresses the central nervous system. Mm-hmm. That's why people take sometimes a shot of liquor at bedtime to alleviate their cough, like a rum toddy or something like that.
Okay.
If that's not something that you want to do, you can take some guaifenesin that, probably doesn't do that much.
Mm-hmm. Cough suppressant?
Or? Yeah. There are also some natural things. Horehound, hyssop, are often natural cough formulas, herbal cough formulas. You can take something to moisturize the back of the throat, like a honey lozenge or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or take, lemon and honey in a tea.
Yes, in a tea, like a chamomile ginger
and,
or something.
Is there something else that's going on? Could there be GERD? When you have a chronic cough that doesn't go away, you have to make sure that you're not developing GERD, which is a reflux that tickles the throat.
Yeah.
And that is sometimes a missed diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since the cough sometimes comes from post-nasal drip, I suggest clear nasal spray that helps to get rid of the biofilms that hold phlegm and mucus in the nasal passages.
Mm-hmm.
That might be appropriate here, too.
Yeah.
But... It takes a while.
And this is a
person who is accustomed to excellent health.
Right.
And she's going to have to ride this out.
Hmm. Cecily, continue taking your high doses of vitamin C, the AHCC. Do stay away from dairy as you've been doing and using the neti pot. Make sure that neti pot is clean, please.
Yeah.
And
you can also, you can put in the neti pot, you can put neti clear into the neti pot.
Ah,
because that's got the salt, but it also has the xylitol, which will break up the biofilms, cause the mucus to be tenacious and to harbors the bacteria.
I would also add N-acetylcysteine
That's a great idea. N-acetylcysteine is really good when you have respiratory infections.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also mucolytic.
Yes.
It breaks up mucus.
Yeah. I would also add zinc, a zinc lozenge, a couple of times
a
day.
Not a bad idea.
For the duration.
That's also an immune booster. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow, Cecily. We hope you feel better soon.
Yeah. And this is a good point at which to offer our sponsor an opportunity to share this vital message with you. So listen up.
As a health-conscious person, you're going to love our new sponsor, Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, healthy eaters, and more. The Health IQ Advantage is their unique mortality model on the health-conscious and lower rates for health-conscious people, like a good driver savings on auto insurance. They also have unique underwriting that's tailored to the needs of the health-conscious, so things like having an adverse family history won't typically drive your rates up. You can actually qualify for up to 33% savings by doing things like taking a Health IQ quiz and scoring elite, having a membership to a qualifying association or gym for more than 1 year, and more. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Hoffman or mention the promo code Hoffman when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Even if you don't qualify, Health IQ will use their world-class underwriting team and shop the nation's top 30 carriers to get you the lowest retail rate in the market. So don't miss your chance to save up to 33% in your life insurance and check out healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify today.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you, along with FullScript. So, let's hear the next question, please.
Okay, we've got an email from Roseanne. Dr. Hoffman, I listened to the podcast with Dr. Diamond and others regarding cholesterol. My question is, if you have mild plaque according to an ultrasound, is it imperative that you should go on a statin? I've never had a stent, a stroke, or heart attack. I'm 70, I'm female. And the doctor said the only way to know for sure how much plaque is an MRI. I wonder if she meant to say MRA.
Well, okay, so that's if she already knows that she has a small amount of plaque, mm-hmm. why is the doctor saying the only way to know is with an MRI?
That's
the
interesting.
So the doctor's saying, that's nonsense, you have to get an MRI?
Yeah. So this is an ultrasound, based on an ultrasound.
Oh, so an ultrasound of mm-hmm. the carotid artery.
Mm.
So that's not it's not a coronary artery
right.
EBT scan.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he might be referring to an MRA, which mm-hmm. is, okay, so let's explain. When you get a carotid ultrasound, it will, show the degree of plaque.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily tell you if your flow is limited.
Mm-hmm.
What an MRA will do is it will actually tell you if your flow is limited. And if you're at high risk for a stroke.
Okay.
So what's interesting is that when you have the beginnings of plaque mm-hmm. in your carotid arteries, it's only when you get up to about 90% that Ooh. You become high risk for stroke, interestingly.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that you're already beginning to have it indicates a need for prevention.
Yeah.
Now, there's less demonstration that there's a preventive value to Lipitor in someone with mild plaque
yeah.
in the carotid arteries
mm-hmm.
than there is even in heart disease prevention.
Mm-hmm.
That's
interesting.
I would say I'd have to look at the results of the test. I don't know what mild means,
yeah.
but I would say that it's not necessarily imperative. I think another test that would be bad is an EBT heart scan, which would show if the coronary arteries are involved.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. you know, another question that's a corollary question to that is, what if you show a mild degree of plaque in your coronary arteries? An example of which was President Trump. We, mm. you know, we did that example in a newsletter article.
Yes.
You know, he started out with, in 2007, he had 33, then he had like 78, now he has 133.
And he's 71.
Mm-hmm. So that's about average. With that score, he's not at high risk to have an immediate heart attack. Very unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if he's planning to live another 20 years, Plaque tends to increase, and it's already demonstrated that it went from 33 to 78 to 133. So if it goes at that rate, you know, by the time he's 85, he could have a score of like 800 or 1,000. Uh-huh. And, you know, so he is on a statin.
Yeah.
He's not particularly holistic guy. So the doctor says, go on a statin. He's going to, you know, go, sure, I'll do it. You know, on a person like that, a person who's unlike Trump, who is very determined to take supplements, to follow a very healthy lifestyle, I might forego a statin.
Yeah.
But with a guy who says, the hell with it, I'm going to eat fast food and I, you know.
And drink Diet Coke.
Yeah. I'm going to say, maybe he should be protected with a statin.
Sure.
You know.
Makes sense.
I mean, and statins, I mean, there's a purpose in life for medications for people who don't want to undertake a lifestyle modification.
Right.
You know.
Roseanne is 70, and she's had two different statins with horrible side effects.
Oh, well then.
So she's not taking any, and her doctor doesn't want to see her for a year. So she just wants to get out of my office. Yeah. I don't want to see you for a year.
Yeah, well, part of the reason he's saying that is that he's not particularly high risk. You know, it's like he's saying, well, if you don't want to take a statin, that's okay with me. It's not a big, no biggie.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably, you know, be okay anyway. And you're kind of a pain in the you-know-what anyway. You're one of those balky patients who keeps complaining of side effects. What are you talking? It must be in your imagination.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's very real that people have statin side effects.
Yeah.
For some people who have statin side effects, you can sometimes, and they really need a statin, you can find a statin that's less likely to cause side effects.
Yeah.
You can use a lower dose.
Can't you also offset many of those side effects if you take a lot of CoQ10, ubiquinol?
You know what? You can... only to a certain extent.
Okay.
I this is what I found, is that when you have statin side effects, it's good to take CoQ10, but the people who have muscle aches, they don't get much relief from taking CoQ10.
Interesting.
And I don't know if it's like, maybe they should take like a thousand of CoQ10 or so, you know, a thousand of ubiquinol, but it's very expensive to do that, and
it is,
that experiment hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is you could protect your arteries in other ways.
Chiolic.
Do all these nice things to protect. You know, take resveratrol, take fish oil, take,
chiolic.
Bergamot.
Bergamot, yes.
Take curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
These seem to have anti-inflammatory effects. And, you know, olive leaf extract, wonderful in terms of protection against atherosclerosis.
Yeah.
So...
That coupled with an anti-inflammatory diet. So, Roseanne, okay. Best of luck to you.
And we don't know anything about her cholesterol. We don't know,
we just know about mild plaque according to an ultrasound.
Does she have a high homocysteine, for example? That's also a risk for cerebral vascular disease. I mean, there's many issues we would address if we were to personalize this in a visit.
Right, right, exactly. Homocysteine is something we would definitely look at. Roseanne, ask your doctor when you see him in a year, maybe you don't want to wait for a homocysteine test, because that could be remedied with nutrition, high-dose B vitamins. Okay. All right. We have an email from Phil. I'm perplexed by the issue of probiotics versus prebiotics. Do you need both? Why? My gut seems to be okay with occasional issues, which I can usually link back to a food allergy. Okay.
It's a deep philosophical question.
Yeah, you do need both.
Right.
You need...
Now, it's almost impossible not to have prebiotics of some kind unless you're just eating junk food.
Yeah.
Right. So food is a prebiotic.
Right, right. It comes in many forms. Much of our produce, specifically onions, garlic, leeks, Jerusalem artichoke, asparagus,
rich in inulin,
almond,
which is the premier probiotic.
Yeah. So these foods are actually prebiotic.
Prebiotic.
And these foods are actually prebiotics for your microbiome.
Right.
And if you have any issues with your microbiome, also helpful to take a probiotic as well. So, and it could be any range of
probiotics. So what's interesting about the Dr. Here's probiotic that we talk about a lot, and I put a little plug for one of our sponsors, is that it contains prebiotic and probiotic.
There you go.
So it's
one-stop shop.
Yeah,
one-stop probiotic.
Right, prebiotic. But you still need the dietary prebiotic.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting that studies show that within 12 hours you can change your flora and your gastrointestinal tract by changing your diet. So,
which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Because you, that's resilience.
Yeah.
Right there. Changing from a junk food diet to something very healthy. It's not going to take months or years. It can happen within a few days,
yep.
which is terrific. And that says a lot about our resilience, your particular individual gut integrity, and all of that, because we are a super organism.
The more, you know, not to correct you, but I think I would take it one step further. There's the word that actually comes to mind on that is plasticity.
Plasticity.
Is that we have resilience. We also have plasticity. We have the ability to shape and mold our microbiome through corrective measures. I mean, there's some people that have a certain stuckness or an inertia where it's very hard to improve it. But through these measures, we can modify it.
Yeah, yeah. So there are lots of different ways, lots of different varieties.
One way you could get a handle on it is, and this is folks at home, you don't even need to go to the doctor. You could go to, well, this sounds like sort of an anti-advertisement for our practice, but you could go to Ubiome. And I'm also checking out another one called Viome. Which is another service that does testing. And they'll test your stool, and you can actually order. What's nice is sometimes you order a series. You say, well, I'll take three test kits. Take it at baseline, then undertake a diet, like going on the Whole 30 or paleo diet.
Yes.
And then see afterwards, after a month or so on that diet, how it's changed your microbiome. And, you know, you could actually see
it's a
progress.
Nice report card, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's, I think, $100, and you don't need to see a doctor. You do it with them.
So some people call it microbiome. I've heard, I think it was a Dr. Stephen Gundry call it holobiome.
Okay.
Because we're kind of in a fog of of biome, which is kind of everywhere.
We tend to forget that there's also, you know, There's organisms that are on our skin, mucous membranes, you know, everywhere.
And within our troposphere.
Indeed. All right, on to the next question.
Okay, we have a question from Denise. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, thank you for your outstanding radio program. I've been a listener for years. My 85-year-old father has stage 3 kidney disease with a GFR of 34.
But you know what? That is not such a bad GFR.
It's not. 34 is not bad.
Yeah.
For 85-year-old.
You know, it's actually, I think a lot of 85-year-olds with stage 3 so-called kidney disease without that diagnosis have a GFR that's as low as that. I think, you know, to by comparison, I think a young, healthy person, I think, may have a GFR of 60 or 70.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, when you in renal failure, it might be like 15 or 20.
Yes, you know. Yes. So that's renal failure.
So he's so we say he has compromised kidney function.
Yes, stage
bit.
3, right? In an article I read by Dr. Carolyn Dean, she's advocating the usage of a picometer stabilized ionic form of liquid magnesium REMAG for kidney patients. I wanted to know your thoughts about its usage, or do you recommend other forms of magnesium?
I don't know it.
Yeah.
So
Carolyn Dean is an expert on magnesium.
Her thing is magnesium. Yeah.
Magnesium Miracles, the name of her book.
Right.
Denise's father is currently taking 300 milligrams of magnesium citrate.
Well, that's not that well absorbed.
Right.
And it's a good laxative.
So,
in other words, it goes out of you and doesn't get absorbed into your bloodstream much.
Denise wants to know, for patients with kidney disease that's not yet progressed to kidney failure, how much magnesium in general should they take?
It's tough to say, because I think you need to monitor magnesium levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually think that that's probably okay for this guy, because he has retained a fairly good kidney function. So taking magnesium, that's not my preferred form of magnesium.
No. And he's not going to absorb a lot of it, which may also be a good thing in case it may be too much.
Right.
For his kidneys, but...
But, you know, he may be suffering from loose stool because of that.
That's true.
Unless he's constipated to begin with, in which case it's beneficial.
Right. So, Denise, he needs close monitoring by his nephrologist, who should advise on...
Can do a magnesium test.
Yeah.
The
typically RBC magnesium?
Well, here's the problem. You know, regular magnesium blood tests basically tell you if you have a very serious magnesium deficiency.
Yeah.
And they're not that sensitive. So mm-hmm. they don't pick up suboptimal magnesium. Now, red blood cell magnesiums are more readily available, but the problem with a red blood cell magnesium is that most labs don't do it correctly, is that if you draw the blood, say patient comes in at 11 o'clock,
yeah.
and then the blood guy comes by at the, you know, after the, you know, when the office is closing at 5 o'clock, picks up the blood, you know, goes around to like, you know, 40 other doctors, gets mm-hmm. gets to the blood lab in Brooklyn, you know, at like, 9:30 at night after uh-huh. like stopping at, you know, at the diner for, you know, a sandwich, and then, you know, drops it off. And then some lazy all night lab technician is, you know, having a cup of coffee and some donuts and sitting there and, mm-hmm. well, then maybe they'll run that test at, you know, like 2 a.m. or something. You know, those red blood cells will lyse. They're sitting there and they actually, they're dead. And when
yeah.
they're dead, they release some of their content.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which would include the nutrients there, the micronutrients yeah, that are in there, the yeah, minerals. So
I don't know that you're going to get an accurate reading.
Huh. Interesting.
It's a test best performed like really fresh. So I have mm-hmm. a problem with that test. Mm-hmm. We used to do really fresh magnesium readings in the office. I closed
yes.
our office lab
right.
because it's just too cumbersome to run with all the regulations and the, you know, inspections.
And that was an ionized
magnesium. Yep.
So.
Which is what they do
right.
in downstate when they want to find it. When they look at migraine patients, they want to find if they have low magnesium. They used ionized magnesium as their more sensitive way mm-hmm. of determining that. So, you know.
Yeah. Bravo for using that test.
Yeah.
That's good.
And it served us well. So mm-hmm. now we still have to rely on the not so accurate magnesium tests.
Yeah. And the patient's presentation.
But I will tell you this, and I think I shared with our audience, is when I broke my leg, mm-hmm. My hip in 2006, and I was in the hospital, right away I told him to give me magnesium, because I said, I'm having traumatic shock.
Yeah.
You know, I have my wits about me. Believe me, I need magnesium, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to help. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we'll have to draw magnesium. We'll tell you if you need magnesium, because we can't just take your say-so, even though you're an eminent nutritionist. You know, it's like, we can't just do it on your
right.
say-so. So they did. So it took like 2 days for the results to come back. And I, even on that test, which I have to say, almost never in a patient who walks into my office is it low. As sick as they are,
mm-hmm.
I had a low magnesium.
Wow.
Which indicates I was in bad shape.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Oh. 2 days later, I said, what, you know, they had all these IVs around. I said, what's that? They said, oh, that's your magnesium. It was 2 days
there
later.
You go.
So better late than never.
And, oh, my goodness.
Because, you know, it's.
Well, trauma, stress, trauma, surgery, a fall.
Yeah.
That burns through magnesium.
I think that if they gave more magnesium to people around injuries and surgery, they would have less people have cardiac problems around that. Because somebody
yes.
with a weak heart. They
yeah.
can have a heart attack when they have like a serious injury, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. All right. We're done because
yeah.
The time's limited. And so thank you for joining us. And please support our sponsors. We'll be back next week. Once again, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. And yet another way to pose a question, I'll just mention this, is if you go to drhoffman.com and using a PC or Mac, it's not yet enabled for mobile, so you can't get it on your phone or your iPad. Using a PC or Mac, on the right side of our homepage, there's a rectangle, which you click on. It prompts you to ask a question, and you can record a question. We use those questions on our radio program on the weekend. So there's multiple ways to get through to us.
Terrific. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you, Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.